You have made it to the final part of the euthanasia series. So without further ado, we're just going to pick up where we left off. So right into it. Let's go. Right.
And also in some cultures, religions and society, euthanasia is considered as an affront to the sanctity of life. And we know this, we see this, especially in Christianity. Some religions believe that God has a timing for everything, including that person's death. There's a time, you know, the Bible scripture that says there's a time for everything under the earth, a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to smile, a time to cry. Right. And in addition, some terminally ill patients who become seen as burdens to the healthcare system and their families may be pressurized to end their own life against their initial will, which we were speaking about earlier, about the mental pressure, the financial pressure, the emotional pressure. And this could threaten society. We're not considered this. This would threaten society to make it less caring towards the old and the sick due to the financial burden and the emotional strain that they may cause.
All right, Church, when you were talking about the part where it says religion believes that everyone has a timeline, and based on determinism and the ever-growing problem of determinism and free will in philosophy, we must also look at, is the person being euthanized a part of their journey? Was that a predetermined decision of the forces that control us and not necessarily our free will? Was that destined to happen? What if that was a part of the person's journey?
Yeah, totally.
You understand what I'm saying?
Versus free will to choose. And that's also something that people have.
Exactly. So we can, all right. While I understand the religious perspective, we must also stop sometimes to think and to realize that we aren't completely sure how this world works as it relates to, we don't know everything. And that is why determinism and free will is still such a big issue, because we can't seem to reconcile the problem. So considering this, we do not know if being euthanized is a part of that person's journey. We never know. We never know if we're not actually interrupting their life's journey, but fulfilling it. That's natural. That was how they were supposed to go from the start. Because if we really look at it, if we feel dead, we go dead. We can't stop it. We don't know when we go dead or how we go dead. If we feel dead, we cannot escape it. We can't escape it. So, considering this, and they teach us that from a born, basically, we will life map out for us and stuff. So, what if that person who is to be euthanized, that was
and
a part
you
of their
map? Culture and society and religion can, in some cases, blind others or be some sort of shield, visual shield when making certain decisions. Because, for instance, a person is terminally ill and they're going through pain and suffering, but because of that blind, that, all right, let me paint a picture for you. You know, the racehorses, they have this headpiece on to ensure that they only see the track right.
Yeah, so it looks like
religion and society and culture puts that headpiece on so you can only see in the direction that society wants to see. And that is a very big issue when it comes to touchy topics like
And that is why I asked the question, is our morality solely based on what we are taught or is there something deeper driving us to the perceived good? That is why I pose the question, you know, because of the headset that they put on us, you know, it makes also when we think outside of the box, or we touch on taboo,
it would be looked as
taboo,
immoral, or unethical,
unconventional thoughts. Yeah, we are looked on as where the black sheep, or our moral is brought to
and
the
no
forefront
one wants
for questioning
to be seen, especially in society where we have this cancel culture and people are exiled from their family.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be looked as morally correct. Nobody wants to be put under the spotlight, and we're saying, what do you think about this? Okay, by society you are wrong, by religion this is wrong, by culture that is wrong. No one wants to be put under that spotlight.
And this is what causes many to their true beliefs, they kind of subdue it in to fit in with society and not to be bashed. So they like hide what they really want to say, they don't say it in fear of being bashed. And when you look at that, that doesn't allow us to live our truth.
You know that we have to look at areas of the world where different cultures, religions, and societies have the same things and what are their views on euthanasia. So in April 2002, the Netherlands became the very first country to legalize euthanasia and assisted suicide. However, it imposed a strict set of conditions, and this is what I'm talking about. You have to set rules to account for the gray areas, because with expansions in modern society and modern medicine and modern technology, the world is not black and white anymore. And the set of conditions is that the patient must be suffering unbearable pain, their illness must be incurable, and demand for euthanasia must be made in full consciousness by the patient. So in this case, the spouse or the sister or the next of kin cannot make the decision. So it is cutting off the decision. Do individuals have a right to choose how their loved ones die? It really says no. That is basically what the law says. No. Everyone, every individual has their own right to choose. And also, in the same year, Belgium passed a law legalizing euthanasia, and it became the second country in the world to do so, naturally. And the law states that doctors can assist patients to end their lives when they freely express a wish to die because they are suffering intractable and unbearable pain. Patients can also receive euthanasia if they have clearly stated it before entering a coma or a similar vegetative state. So this is basically a loophole to the oath that doctors took. And it also, the law basically is saying that whether the disease is curable or incurable, the patient has a right to choose before they enter a specific state. And it also cuts off the next of kin, the loved one, from making this decision for them.
All right, so there are other countries who have euthanasia and physical assisted suicide as either legal or legal, and I'll read some of them. So in Switzerland, euthanasia is illegal, but physician assisted suicide is legal. They don't have an age requirement, and the required diagnosis, none. They don't have to have any symptoms. So basically, once you want to die, a physician can assist you regardless of age, regardless of diagnosis, and regardless of the state that you are in. However, euthanasia is completely illegal.
Okay.
Great Netherlands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In Luxembourg, euthanasia is legal. Physician-assisted suicide is legal. The age requirement is 18. You don't have to have a diagnosis. Symptom states, incurable condition with constant unbearable suffering and no prospect of improvement.
In this case, it has to be incurable. No.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And surprisingly, in Canada, euthanasia is legal. Physician-assisted suicide is legal. The age requirement is 18. You don't need a diagnosis or no specific diagnosis, but the symptom states, grievous and irremediable medical condition with enduring and unbearable suffering. Then in Colombia, euthanasia legal. Physician-assisted suicide legal. Surprisingly, the age requirement for both is 6, which is completely bizarre to me.
Can make the decision.
Wow.
But
6-year-olds.
I mean, they are in charge of their own life.
So. Mm. No, but
what
at 6.
What do you know at 6?
And at 6.
What have you been doing for the first 6 years of your life? Can you read a contract and sign it by yourself?
At 6-year-old.
Medical insurance that's not joined?
At 6-year-old, I don't think. I don't think at 6 we are able to make such. Not even life-changing, life-ending decisions. Yeah, we
our brain is developed. We have not experienced what we have to experience.
We have experienced nothing. We don't go through puberty, nothing. We know nothing.
We know what we're taught. Our
thoughts are based on... our thoughts are based on those around us who have influenced us.
So in that case, it's basically as if the person you respect or relate to the most is making your decision because you are 6. And an example of a clear-cut rule, which I really do not appreciate from institutions, is in the United Kingdom, where euthanasia and suicide are legal, but the removal of life-saving care is not. So the removal of a ventilator... And,
which one?
Life support. Whoa. But they don't account for the gray area. This is literally what the rule says. Euthanasia and suicide are illegal, but the removal of life-saving care is not. And I do feel that the institutions in the United Kingdom need to expound on what specifically, what type of euthanasia or what type of life, what do you consider life-saving care?
This is a problem, you know, Trish. The problem is these conversations aren't being had. They're being shied away from. So the adjustments to laws that have been made from up until Philip are not being changed. Because if there was emphasis being placed on euthanasia and learning about it, talking about it.
I'm speaking to persons who have first-hand experience with their loved ones passing away or having to make the hard decision or having to have the institutions make the decision for them to consider to prolong the suffering. You have to... I do feel that research and not only research, but having the talks, not amongst yourself, but with persons who have been there, who knows what it feels like to struggle and to see your loved one go through that type of pain and not being able to do anything about it. I do feel like we need to talk about that.
But first, we have to allow for these topics to not be seen as taboo, for persons to be open about speaking about them without basically providing a safe space to start off, for them to know that share your thoughts here, you're not going to be judged, your morals and you won't be questioned. The more we facilitate
the more we facilitate change.
And the more that we can see the flaws that are present in our system.
Right. So I have a question for you, Kay. Under what circumstances, providing that you are in a situation, would you want to be euthanized? And after that, I have a question. Would you want your loved one to be euthanized? Under what circumstances?
All right. For me, I'm a person that not gonna like the long-term pain and suffering thing, right? So if I know that I'm going to die or my time is coming, instead of pondering and wondering when, I would want to be in control of when it happens, instead of the worry of myself. Because if I'm being told that I have approximately 30 days to live, you think that me go to enjoy them 30 days, eh? No, miss long and fret on it. Miss long and fret and fret and fret and wonder which one in the air. So it's better. I think it would be better, in my opinion. I would want to control when I die in that.
Right.
Under those circumstances. To be very honest. I wouldn't want to sit and waste away.
So while I do not want to be a financial burden or an emotional burden, it is circumstantial, because the way I would like to be euthanized is passively. I do not want active euthanasia, because if euthanasia is the good death and you are fastening the process by providing support, why is it that there has to be a lethal injection or... inhaling carbon monoxide, I just could not see myself agreeing to that method of being euthanized. And yeah, that is what I think, that passive euthanasia, like an overdosage of morphine, it would be something that I would agree to for my life and also for the life of my loved ones. And I do feel like, moving on, my family should have the conversation as, what if, you know, what if it was a case where you were in terrible and in immense pain, would you want me to make the call, or would you like the call to be made? But if the conversation, right, but if the conversation isn't had, I do believe in the greater good. That is something I live by. And I do think that I, being the loved one and being the one trusted with such a decision, would not want to see my loved one suffer. Providing that it is incurable. So I do, that is my, those are my
Yes, ideas. Of course.
Yes, and I think we should pose this to our listeners, for the person listening on the various social medias and the social media sites and various forms of media. Two questions. Would you like to be euthanized, and under what circumstances? And the flip side to that, how do you think you are the one to make the call, or would you make the call if it was an instance where your loved one was bedridden and in chronic pain, with both?
So we have come to the end of another topic, three parts, and you've been here listening for all three parts. So thank you. But now, as we said, we want to hear from you. Just go to our description and click the link. It will bring you right to our Instagram. Just find the euthanasia post and leave your thoughts. Would you want to be euthanized? Would you want your family to make that call? And of course, if you're enjoying the pod, don't forget to follow and subscribe if you're listening on Anchor, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And share one more time, because why would you want to keep all of this good stuff to yourself? Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for the support that you're giving and that you continue to give. Bye.